The long night has ended, the fog is lifted, and the Rewind Reviews is here to sift through the wreckage. Welcome along to a very special show where we are delivering our all-important player ratings for Game of Thrones Battle of Winterfell. Who lived up to expectation? Who bottled it on the big day? We'll be running our eye over what Dave Jones would surely describe as an enthralling encounter.
What do we say to the God of Death?
Not today.
What do we say to the God of Death?
Not today.
If this is your first time listening, you can subscribe to our Balls.ie podcast feed on all good podcast platforms. You'll find our Avengers Endgame review and, of course, plenty of top quality sports content, including our weekly GAA and rugby podcasts. My name is Mark Farley, and I am joined by Mick McCarthy and Donny Mahoney. Mick, can you describe the emotions flowing through your veins right now?
Like I've got ice running through my veins here right now. Like I'm cool and ready to recap, but like when I was watching it on 7 o'clock on Monday morning, I don't know if I could describe myself as in any way calm. I actually did check my heart rate on my Fitbit at one stage, and it was remarkably high for somebody sitting on their arse in the in their sitting room. But yeah, what a amazing 90 minutes of television.
Donny,
actually, can't believe it was TV.
Donny, you were spotted running around Dublin at 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to unwind and get rid of all that adrenaline. Have you calmed down?
It took me a long time to fall asleep last night. It was a long night for me because I watched the show at 9:30 and was just not able to even think of going to sleep at once. It was over around 11. Brain melted. Just so much anxiety and fear and nervousness.
Mm. Just having to do with player ratings.
Yeah, well, so much pressure here. It's the maiden voyage for this podcast, at least in a Game of Thrones context. And there was just so much to, you know, there was just so much building. And literally, I think the amazing part of that episode is, you know, you just didn't really know where it was going towards or what resolution we were heading into, and then just those kind of crazy last 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm. I got to the point where the odds were so far against them that the Get Out was taken away. So the assumption going into this episode was that, you know, they would lose the battle, but the war would fight on. And you got to the point, you know, that they maybe escape on the dragons or whatever and go to the Iron Islands and regroup, and some plan would come up to eventually kill the Night King. It got to the point in that episode where you're thinking, that can't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is either some mad twist where everything goes wrong and they lose, and we have 3 episodes to deal with the consequences of that, or they somehow get out of this, you know? And it was like, how is that going to happen? And it wasn't with Jon Snow running around playing hide and seek with the dragon.
No, but there was a thing where, now, I didn't want to get into this straight away, that we'd be hot taking.
Let's do it.
Doing hot takes within 3 minutes at the start of the show. But there is not, like, it was obviously an incredible episode, brilliant TV. But did they bottle it a little bit? Because we're about to go through player ratings here where pretty much everybody's still alive and we had expected half of them to be culled. And there's also that thing of, like, if you look through all the moments, I've been kind of saying this to you the last couple of weeks where I couldn't put my finger on it. I was like, it's not the same show it used to be, because what made it so amazing at the start was that you just could not predict what was going to happen. And every time you thought of something, they'd throw a curveball and they'd go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in that moment in the garden where it's like, right, well, John can't get to Bran. What's going to happen here? We're doomed. And he reaches for the sword. I'm like, Arya. Arya's about to kill him because they'd set it up later on in the episode. Then he turns around and grabs it by the throat. Now, old Game of Thrones, you just would have killed her and that would be the end of it. New Game of Thrones, she gets the win. Everything that was foreshadowed happens. It's the perfect, like, one that you can, the one I think you can kind of compare it to is Oberyn Martell, where it's kind of like Tyrion's in a corner. We're all wondering, how the hell is he going to get out of this? Mm. He can't fight a, you know, he can't do death, you know, what was it, trial by combat.
Yeah.
Then Oberyn turns out to be absolutely class. You're like, oh my God, we're going to win this. He's over him. He's about to get the victory. And then all of a sudden, legs are swept from under him. And his skull's crushed. Exact same storyline here. They're backed into a corner. How are they going to win it? Arya out of nowhere. She's class. Unbelievable. And then just as the legs are about to be swept from under her in terms of the Night King grabbing her throat, a lot of body parts going on here, she actually just gets the victory.
Okay, there's another way of looking at that though. There's two things I want to say. The whole episode is that. It's like, you know, the it looks, the Night King's on top. Everything that they throw at him isn't working. And then this one looks like that's happened as well. And the twist is that she has an incredible move. I'm actually doing Arya's player rating, so you can imagine what the number is. But like an incredible move to switch hands. And it was only on the second time I watched it that I realized that she meant that, as opposed to I thought she reacted to dropping
the dagger.
Yeah. But actually she let it out of her hand, knowing she couldn't use her left, caught it with the right and went in. And it was an amazing move. Like, you know, what a goal worthy of winning any game, really. Like, you know, So, and the other thing is that, like, we are at the end game now. Like, there isn't room for any of the kind of, like, the kind of cruel twists of fate anymore. And we've been building up these characters. It's not a case of bottling, I don't think. It's just that the ones that we've done this journey with, we've done this journey with them for 8 seasons, and they've been built up for a reason. There's a reason these characters are still in it. It's not a case of you can just go and kind of kill off everybody now. Their stories are almost too important. There is rules of television that actually still need to apply. Well, they do need an ending, you know? Now, Brienne, I think, probably could have had that ending last week. I think that's fair enough. And maybe one or two others. But Arya has been built for this for the whole time. And the whole point of it is that everything about her character storyline has been leading up to this. Her ability to be stealth and to get in there, which is something people are complaining about, is that the only character you can believe would do that was her. The fact that she's underestimated, the fact that she can use the two hands, the fact that she, you know, everything about her training and her storyline to get there, which people were kind of annoyed about 2 seasons ago because they just thought it was boring, was all leading up to her being this person.
You gotta wonder, I'll give you Arya, right? But you gotta wonder, like, anybody who's in that sort of main battle in the castle, in the courtyard, like, how does one-handed Jaime survive the Death Army for like for all that time? How does Sam, like, completely out of his depth, just sort of endure out there? How does Pod? I mean, but like, what that battle was setting up was that there was nowhere to hide and there was no luck.
You know,
like I thought the show, for where it was set up last week, it really, I thought they would be a little bit more merciless with just like taking these characters away if this enemy was as fearsome as they were billed to be and as they seem to be in that episode. I was just surprised that they didn't go that far.
We do have 3 episodes to go and another war to come, and I'm just like, they do also need some of these characters. There might not be enough. I think Brienne, Pod, I think like Ed going was probably about right. I think Ser Jorah, as hard as it was probably the right time for him. I don't know who else though. Like Jaime, I think still has a huge part to play in this story. You have to sacrifice a little bit of realism.
The only
for
thing
him,
is,
you know?
I'm wondering is with Jaime and with the Hound and all these theories and all these things that this is going to happen, that this is going to happen. If they just end up happening in the last 3 episodes, it is going to kind of be a bit of an anticlimax. But that might be, like you say, it's just that now we're at the stage where it isn't surprises. Because one of the reasons, like say, I'm just arguing against myself here, but with Arya coming out of the dark and that she expected it to happen in that, maybe you only expected it for 30 seconds before it happened.
That's
30
it.
Seconds.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't just expect it because they had the sort of the obvious, the thing you see in all American TV shows and films is like that sort of spelling it out with Melisandre a few minutes before that, going, remember when I told you you were going to shut eyes forever? Blue eyes? And then she runs away. But it's also because, like you said, is that it made sense. It made sense that Arya would be the one to come out of the darkness, but it wasn't going to be Jon.
But it was only 30 seconds before. Yeah. It was only when you realized Jon wasn't getting there that, like, we were watching home, we both went, Arya.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't the whole way. I'd forgotten about that scene. You know, there was too much happening.
But it did look shit cool as well.
And the Night King dying, and maybe I might start in with player ratings. The Night King dying, I think, was a legitimate surprise. You know, like, I really didn't think they would build him up so much. And, you know, this whole slow march just to sort of wipe him away. Like, it was his only appearance in the season. What was he about? There's so many questions with what he was doing and just this mystery, like, and he's just kind of wiped away in one sort of appearance.
Do you have him?
Son? I just think it was explained, like, it was explained in two bits. It was explained in the scene where Bran saw him be created, which was the Children of the Forest. Men were attacking them, trying to end them. They created him to kill men, to kill, like, the land of men, the world of men. And, you know, they lost control of what he was, and his entire mission was to end mankind. For want of a better word,
was his mission, why was he just casually strolling through the forest, like having a look at the dude, Bran? Like, what if he was actually like, he seemed, for somebody whose main mission was to destroy all of humanity, seemed surprisingly casual in that sort of
this
in that build up.
Yeah, I was about to say arrogant, and I think this is the perfect opportunity to get into our player ratings.
Yeah.
So you've got the Night King.
Yeah, I've got the Night King. I mean, I think you've got to be brutally honest about how bad the Night King was in this episode, and I've wagered him in at a 4.
Four, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could give him a zero, I suppose. He walked in, he wasn't, like, he's has this air of invincibility about him, and he got basically killed in the most kind of arrogant and mindless way possible, completely, like, just forgetting about to watch his back, you know?
Mm.
And it was so casual in the whole thing. But then I think you've got to say, well, he had some good moments. You know, the moves he did to sort of just bring the army of the dead through the fire. He was doing some good stuff there, controlling everybody. But what was he doing in that last dramatic scene? So casual. And also, his bros, what are they at?
Yeah. Like, one of them got a wisp of wind and turned the other way, which is Arya's move from the library, where she obviously made a bit of noise going the opposite way, made them all look that way. Terrible wingmanship.
They literally have one job, and it's to make sure that nobody comes across the back to stop the Night King. Yeah. And like, they don't, that's all they have to do in the whole episode. Also, Night King, do a better job on your dragon. Like, he falls down. Also, his throw with the spear missed.
You know,
he, all kinds of instances where this guy, who really has been built up as, like, you know, the great, like, this unbeatable force, really, I don't think he turned up at all.
I think what saves
dominated the game up until the last minute.
Exactly. Though, I think what saves him from a zero is, I thought his tactics going into the match, he had his tactics spot on.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, compared to the Livings, was incredible. Yeah. And that's where it's like, I've got Khaleesi in my player ratings, and I think they're very comparable characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of them, I actually have Khaleesi down as 4 out of 10 as well.
Oh, that's harsh.
Both of them, I thought, were defined by arrogance.
Really?
And I thought, in one way, Khaleesi gets the bump above, maybe she's a 5, she gets a bump above the Night King because she's still alive. But that's all that separates them. Because if you look at the Night King's planning, was better. His tactics going into it were a lot better. Khaleesi, the only thing that might save Khaleesi,
can you call her Daenerys? Yeah. She hasn't been Khaleesi since like season 2.
Right, Daenerys.
Sorry. I think we can call
rather the name Khaleesi. It sounds
okay,
nice.
Okay, fine.
But Daenerys, the only thing that might save her is, and this is something that I kind of wanted to bring up here because it might give her a bit of a boost in the ratings, is a. Was it her fault or Jon's fault that they didn't bring the dragons out at the start? Jon's fault.
Yeah. But then again, they had the plan that was to wait for the Night King and to lure him into some kind of trap so he couldn't just walk in unaided to Bran, and that they were going to stay out of it and it was a trap and they were luring him in. And Daenerys said, fuck that plan. The dead are already here. Let's go. And then they went. So you can look at it both ways. It's like, was it a bad plan in the first place which cost Jon? I'm doing Jon. It does. But should Daenerys have stuck to a plan if the plan is there and they only needed to kill one man or White Walker or whatever he is?
But then,
you know?
But then that also, it's a bad plan from the get-go. Like, absolutely. Why send the Dothraki out to get slaughtered?
The poor Dothraki.
Why not send everybody down the south? Why keep everybody in the crypts? Just go, go on down there, because all we need is Bran. He's coming for Bran.
But surely it's Jon who's making these decisions. He's the guy who's fought all these battles in the north. He knows the region. He knows the lay of the land outside of Winterfell. I think Khaleesi's like, I got my army and my dragons, but I'm gonna lean on you here, Jon, to sort of tell me the best way to fight this battle. And I thought Khaleesi totally redeemed herself in those last scenes where she's on the ground. She picks up that sword. She's killing dudes. She's doing her
never camp. Wielded a sword in her life.
Yeah.
She was great.
And also, was that the Night King's thing that he threw?
No, it was just a sword, dagger.
I think she went missing mid-game. She wasn't seen for scenes upon
she
end.
Saved Jon when he made when he decided to go after the Night King on his own again, the same as he did the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah. She saved Jon, but then she sat there.
No, that was a bad move. It was bad dragon management.
Yeah, she was like just glory hunted, like around looking, going, "Jeez, I did a great job here, didn't I?" And then she
just
got her dragon nearly killed, and then herself nearly killed, and then Jorah Mormont died because of her.
Well, that was
I know that it was
did
like an heroic thing, and they're both there.
Did
fighting
anyone see a moment?
But he was out there to get her to save her because
somebody came from her, and she totally threw Jorah in front of her.
Yeah,
did that happen, or did I imagine it? Because I watched it twice, and I wasn't sure either time.
Yeah,
it's like she's I didn't want to believe.
She's not willing
it.
To take responsibility. She's passing the buck on to somebody else.
I don't
You're
know.
You're going to follow that.
She had
man.
A good game. I thought she. I have her. I have Jon with a higher score than you gave to Daenerys, and I thought Daenerys was better than Jon in this episode.
Yeah, well, I would have had, if I had Jon, I would have had Jon very low.
Okay. Jon around 3, I think.
Okay, well, we'll move on to Jon then, will we?
Yeah, well, maybe we'll settle. I'll give her a 5. Okay. How would you say about 5? Yeah. She's a bit a step above the Night King. She's still alive.
I have her. But at I still 6.
Like the other thing is, I know you're saying she's lent on John, she's leaning on John and all this for and that a lot of his fault. But at the same time, then was that all that wise? Because she's taken 7 seasons to build up these yeah. two armies of the Dothraki and the Unsullied, and now they're gone.
And well, she's an experienced player as well. She's won many's a battle, conquered many's a land. You know, she's been queen of many's a place.
Compared, like, I think next episode you're going to see people with a lot of split loyalties between, say, like Sansa in the North and Khaleesi. But if you're just like a regular dude in this place, you look, Khaleesi's out there fighting, yeah. Sansa's down in the crypt. Like, fair play to Khaleesi. She's doing her thing. You know, she's not a seasoned warrior. She almost lost her dragon, which was, I think, a terrible, terrible bit of dragon management, as you said. But, I think she worked through her own imperfections.
She also put herself into position to, like, I know we knew nothing was going to happen because it was, like, 45 minutes into a 2-hour show. But she put herself into position to get the Night King yeah. with the Dragonfire, which we didn't know wasn't going to work.
But again, was arrogance. She rather than bring the fire in the Night King and then getting the hell out of there, she just sat again admiring
and
her
could
work.
Have got him killed and with could the have spear. Got,
why
yeah.
didn't the, if the Night King had to throw that, as you said, his throw was off. Yeah. And also, if you had to do it while the flames were still raging, it would have come out, it would have been a spear out of nowhere. And that would have been the end of it.
That's true.
Maybe it's 5.5.
5.5. Okay, well, that gives me an ability to give, because I think your player ratings have been harsh so far, because I have to, like, you know, I'm just a positive person. They did win the game, yeah. and I'm giving Jon Snow a lucky 5 out of 10. And the reason is, look, now I have to be honest, right? The reason is they got here to the final. They won the game in the end, and they did it without their best player. But their best player, they wouldn't have been in this position without yeah. Jon Snow. And he's got them to this stage. Now, I mean, he's had some lucky moments along the way, and he's been bailed out a few times. But Jon Snow is the reason that everybody's there, because he's the only one in the entire 8 years that took this threat seriously. Nobody else thought that the army of the dead were going to be in this position mm-hmm. at the end, except for Jon. He's the reason that they're all there, and he gets a little bit of credit for this. But unfortunately, these are player ratings for this battle alone and yeah. this episode yeah. alone.
It's only the 90 minutes that we have to yeah. judge.
He reminded me of Keith Andrews against Spain in the Euros in 2010. He had a decent tournament. He was he tried hard, but ultimately we were going nowhere.
What was he doing with the dragon towards the end? What was his thinking? What was his, like?
That was just pent up frustration. I think
that was one of the maddest things I've ever yeah. seen. So we're that was. I think that's one of those things where you can't separate what the show was trying to do from what the character we're judging is, because it's all the same. But you know, there was so much tension build up in Jon has to be the one to get there. Jon has to be the one to get there. How's he going to get there? And it was just this ludicrous thing where he just kept coming out from behind the rock and running back in behind it again. And I've never seen it. And it must have happened 50 times. But the music slowed down and so quiet and everything. Oh, I just thought that was phenomenal television for the last 10 minutes of that. But anyway, back to John's ratings. Like, you know, he crashed his dragon, never good. Bumped into his own player mid-sky. He couldn't really deal with the conditions. I didn't think he played that well.
You're talking through a Game of Thrones notebook, which I
yeah.
think
yeah.
listeners obviously can't see, but
like
it's
an actual
kind of
notebook that has winter is coming on the front of it, and a wolf
would have been dead if not for Daenerys. And one of the reasons for that as well is because when he went to chase the Night King on foot, which is the second time he's done this kind of ludicrous "I'm off on my own, I don't care" moment, right? When he went to do that, the Night King stopped and very slowly raised the dead. In the meantime, Jon stopped and waited for all that to happen, where he easily could have. It took ages for those lads to wake up. They have to open their eyes, yeah. they have to look around, do the slow camera shot, then they stand up. And they're kind of shit anyway, those dead soldiers. Like, there's a lot of them, which is the problem. But, you know, you can run through a few of them.
Yeah.
He could have chopped his head off in that time.
I don't want to get into this man and discussing him for too long that I'm about to mention, but Jon Snow would give me, he had all the hallmarks of a man that was coached by Roy Keane in a modern game that maybe Roy Keane is not fully grasping at the moment, mm-hmm. because Jon was, you know, all heart, but no system. He didn't adhere to any system really. He was just going to go, gung-ho running around yeah. like a headless chicken. Where it's like, you know, you need to have a bit of discipline.
Yeah, it's not all just about being the hard man. A couple of other negative things about him, right? I don't understand that the fact that he's all about the dragon now, and he's left, his best warrior in the field, Ghost, is out on his own with the Dothraki.
Well,
keep Ghost close to him. He's going to do a better job. He's going to protect them and help them.
I think we got to maybe blame the dog there.
Well, no, John tells the dog what to do, I'm sure. Ghosts shouldn't just wander out to Ser Jorah.
Well, there's a lot to organize in the battle. We haven't seen John and the dog talking.
That's the problem. I don't understand. He's turned into a Targaryen. He's forgotten about Ghost. Just on the positive sides of him, he did kill, when he was running through the gates into the castle to try and go get Bran, he did kill 10 people in a row, 10 whites in a row, okay. Pretty easily, and then locked a load of them out when he closed the doors, which kind of bought a little bit of respite. That wasn't bad. That was his one pretty high moment. He was still thereabouts towards the end. He wouldn't have been that far away. He was shouting at the dragon, hopefully thinking that new tactic might have worked. We don't know if it would have because he died beforehand. So it's amazing. I'm going to give him 5.
It's amazing to think that the humanity could win this battle with two of their, star performers really having, I would say, sort of average to...
It's why you need a good squad, though.
I also think it's why John deserves a bit of credit. Or as we said, that he got them there. And he got them... I think he sort of... You give a man a fish to eat for a day, you teach a man to fish to eat for a lifetime. John fostered the belief, I think, in the likes of Arya and these others.
He gave her needle.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wonder, what was he? I think that there, the Khaleesi romance, I think it was sort of fraying nerves. And I think that's why you don't see inter-squad romances in a lot of teams.
He'd been building up to this battle since we started watching the show, and this was his baby more than anybody else's. He's been building up for this. He froze on the big occasion, quite literally in the sky at one stage.
And luckily, he was bailed out by his own sister, his sorry, I haven't.
His sister and or his cousin and his aunt.
Did you
in terms of when he fell off the or when he was getting killed by the whites? About to get killed by
am I being too generous with 5?
No, I think it's fair. I mean, he did if he's not there. They definitely lose much in a worse way.
He did slow down the Night King as well.
Let's not forget that there were his tactics that meant that the Night King ended up in the Weirwoods. He did
Bran's devise tactics.
I suppose maybe. Just quickly before we get into some of the other main players, I just want to list off a few people here, right? We've got Jaime, Brienne, Tormund, Pod, Gendry, Gilly, and Ser Davos. I think we can all give them a 6 out of 10, maybe. Didn't really feature in the episode.
I dropped Davos. I would say 4.
This was Davos's kind of worst performance in the whole run of the show. I mean, I know he's famed for not really being a good soldier and not really getting stuck in these kind of games, but... if he had his way, I think he would have beheaded Melisandre right when he saw her if there wasn't...
Cost him the game.
Yeah, that would have been it. And, somehow he survived the fight, but where was he the whole time? He was just sort of...
He was standing on top of the walls shouting at people to open and close the gates. It's an important role, don't get me wrong, but Davos, I thought... I was let down by him. He stood there watching Arya in awe as she killed a load of people. It was like... Maybe help her. This is a battle for the living. What are you trying to do here?
I thought he went in with... He had 2 jobs to do. It was a very... it was a restricted role he was given. Open the gates and signal when they were meant to light the trenches.
Yeah.
And he did both.
They didn't light the trenches. Melisandre had to bail him out. Now, she could have had no head if it was up to him.
And, in fairness...
he did let her pass. It wasn't as if he... Someone else stopped them.
He seemed to be auditioning for a role as an air traffic controller in the Westeros airport or something. And I guess he would have passed that test, but he wasn't very, didn't seem very reliable in trying to find alternative fire tactics.
And I've got one last point on him as well. I thought, he was very lucky to get the second last shot in the episode, considering his contribution. And secondly, was what was he thinking there? Melisandre's coming out. She promised me she was going to die tonight. And he goes for a sword. It's surely you've been true enough now that you could leave this till the morning. Mm. Something bigger has just happened here. And now I know she killed a little girl. I'm not saying she shouldn't answer for those crimes. But let it go for one night, Davos. Bigger priorities here. Was his head in the game? If that's what he was thinking about? Maybe 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. The rest are 6s. And let's move on to some more standout performers. We had a few surprise acts, I thought, on the night. Some of them maybe, I think, there are 2 people in particular. Lyanna Mormont and Melisandre.
Mm.
Lady Mormont, I don't think was much of a surprise to you, Donny. You were expecting big things.
I had a feeling. Now, look, I did stupidly open Instagram on Monday morning and I saw some kind of a Lyanna Mormont meme. and I just knew something was afoot with her. But I mean, she really has been, I think, one of the best characters in the show since she was introduced. So fun and so badass. And she was really, when you think of a lot of the time given to like the more annoying characters on the show, Theon and these guys, it was great to see that. Lyanna, you know, actually, you know, she was so tough and just out there when like all the lads hiding in the crypts in there, she's just out there fighting dudes, you know. Great to see her death scene killing that giant. Really sad to see her go. Don't know what happens with the Mormonts now. Is there like
who's in charge of the future of House Mormont?
Yeah, but like I just thought her whole, like that scene with the giant totally epitomized her character. And I guess also maybe I think there's like a sort of a feminist thing with this show now in a way. You think of all the like the women who are in charge, and there's just so much. I thought she was just really, really brilliant.
Yeah. Because one of the things that made her so popular was that she was so like kind of pure and loyal and sort of beyond her years in kind of, but also kind of like from the mouth of babes, in that she wasn't kind of like bothered with all the politics. She just wanted to do the obvious right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like until her last breath, she was there fighting for that. Like, yeah.
Out of 10, Donny?
Oh, I think she's an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
Go on.
Also, sorry, just with that, by killing that giant, like that was a massive thing. Who was going to do that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Giant was causing mayhem.
Yeah, nobody was going to stop him. So, like, who knows which character she saved by taking one for the team?
Melisandre, an unexpected player. She was brought into the starting lineup at a very late stage.
Yeah. She arrived after the game had started. Yeah.
But I've got notes on her here, right?
Yeah.
And I've simply written three things. First of all, I had 9 out of 10 written, which is basically when she lit all the Dothraki's weapons on fire. Then I've got Shane Long exclamation mark, which I presume was that she was on fire.
Shane
Long. And went 10 out of 10. And that was because of the fact that she played such a key role in motivating Arya to go and kill the Night King.
Yeah, I thought she gave was the a assist. Key player.
Yeah.
100%. Arya wouldn't have had the idea if not for that. Yeah. That's the assist, and it's the most important. It's
she
second
was
most
the
important
Iniesta,
thing that happened.
Iniesta to Arya's Messi.
Yes.
But similar.
But she did struggle a little bit with the fire. And she was losing a little bit of confidence in herself. I think it's just enough to knock her down to 9.
She only
got there at the last second.
Yeah. It would be hard to give her 10, I think.
And the Dothraki fire, why did she do it if it was going to be useless?
Yeah, you think with her magic she would have known that. But and I also, similar to Jon...
Knocking off 1 point.
Similar to Jon Snow, where you look at like the work that he would have done before the game, getting the team to the stage. Her contribution in previous episodes, I would find very problematic and very, like, just one of the worst characters I would have
She's
thought.
A filthy player, like, real bad disciplinary record.
Yeah, and then,
she's only back from suspension, like, for the final. Yeah.
underneath that jersey, you know there's, like, a very dark heart and some, like, a very terrifying personality.
I don't know. I think everything she did, like, there are dirty players, and then there are players who have good intentions, and they're misguided in what they do. And she was misguided. She foresaw a massive battle in the north in Winterfell. She thought it was the one that Stannis was in, and that's why she thought he was the prince that was promised. But she misunderstood, and really what she had seen was this battle. She also had begged. She begged Sir Davos to say, "I can be of use to you here." It was. Let's not forget that it was Davos and Jon and the likes who cast her aside. They had no faith in her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe some of the responsibility has to fall back on them for not trusting in what they had, and maybe thinking, you know, this person has talents. If we can just rein in these other problems that we might see, potential issues.
The child murder, yeah.
I'm very scarred by the episode where she's naked and when she's coming on with John, whatever season that is. That's, I think, just was too much for me.
But are you happy enough to give her 9 out of 10?
No. 8.
I'm a solid 9. I think it's more closer to 9.5. She was crucial.
2v1 and we'll be here all day.
But hold on,
isn't
it weird that they just sort of left her out and then she just turns up for this? Like, it seemed,
I don't know. She knew
when it was happening.
Yeah. And I kind of gone into the show, and this is like nothing to do with reading theories or anything, just my own hunch. I fully expected her to be involved somehow. And when you could see the horse coming in the distance.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, this is...
She's very present in the photos, like the cast photos that you see on certain streaming websites. A
few other pretty prominent players here, but maybe not, you know, standouts from out of the match. The Hound, thought he froze in the big occasion yet again.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a, you know, he's afraid of fire.
Yeah.
And if you're going into a match where there's going to be a lot of fires, it's going to stand against him. Maybe he should have sat this one out. Although he did come good in the end
in terms
of how he saved Arya.
I think that's he started off very strong.
Yeah.
The fire killed him, knocked him out of the game for a long, long time. There was a lot of Beric Dondarrion going, Clegane!
I know.
Clegane! Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of that. But then when Arya was brought back in as the person he needed to save, he was there for her, and he absolutely got her to the point as well, just as much as Melisandre. I think he actually had a good game. He just fell out of it in the middle a little bit. I'd give him a 7.
You got to look at the whole 90 minutes.
Killed there. A lot of people.
I was going to go with a 6. You're to the same vote here.
6.5, I think.
6.5.
6.5, fine.
Speaking of Beric, Beric thought he had a very... He had a poor start to the game.
Mm.
I mean, his trick is having a sword that lights on fire. And Melisandre completely took that. Like, you know, she just went, here's another 2,000 swords on fire. So it was kind of like, I think that shook his confidence a little bit.
Yeah.
And it took him a while to recover. Also, the fact that he had one eye, his peripheral vision.
Yeah,
we all know he hasn't got great vision.
Yeah.
But I thought, come the end, both in terms of saving Arya and also the way he was able to motivate the Hound. Like, it takes that sometimes. He emerges a real leader.
Clegane.
Sometimes not by what you can do with, you know, in play, but just the fact that you can bring others into the game like he did with the Hound.
Fair point.
Great motivator.
I'm going to, obviously he died for the cause, so I was going to give him a 7.
Can I actually say one thing that's outside of player ratings and a couple of deaths that were kind of like slow and you were expecting the last words is like, go get them or Khaleesi or something like that. They didn't do it. I thought that was an interesting choice. It was like as if you were waiting for it and they were going, oh, and they just never said anything.
I thought it was good. Mm.
Good choice.
Yeah, definitely. 7?
7.
7 for Beric.
No, 6.
6 is a good score in this game.
Right, we go 6. So he's got less. Despite the fact that he saved Arya and brought Hound into the game.
He's a 7.
He's got less than
that. He saved people by dying as well. Like,
yeah,
he did die though. You know, like, I mean, surely you lose a point for dying.
And especially someone like him who dies all the time.
we can't even say
we're going to be here all day, but we cannot give Beric a worse rating than the Hound. So if we're going 6 out of 10, also, the Hound is down to 5.5.
His tactic when he was like holding his hands out to keep the dead people away, like he was leaving loads of space underneath his two arms. Like,
yeah, but the dead people are stupid.
Lads.
They're only, yeah.
Did you notice the one in the library looked very like David Bowie?
That's true, young David
in
Bowie.
In his Tin White Duke era.
Back for this is the brought back all the dead celebrities. Look at, I'm going here. I'm going 7 out of 10 for Beric.
Fine.
Because we need to have him higher than the Hound. And I'm
it's your one to choose. Yeah. Anyway, you had Derek. Beric.
I did, yeah. Derek. Right, Derek. Dolores Ed. I'm going to give him... I don't know what to do here. He saved Sam, but at the same time, he didn't last very long and he had poor tactics aside from that. The fact that he got killed straight away after that.
He didn't last.
I gave him a 5 out of 10.
I think so.
Didn't last very long. He didn't last long enough, but he did say that.
He was almost a lot longer.
I forgot that. I actually wrote it down. He had the quote of the episode in his performance where Beric was asked to come on. He went, fuck off! goes, we can't beat them. Can't you see that, you stupid whore? We're fighting death. You can't beat death.
But that, like,
surely that bumps up a point.
No, it doesn't bump him
line
up a point.
Of the fucking episode in an episode with no talking.
Hold on a minute. When his team relied upon him and needed him, he threw his ties out of the pram. That can't get you an extra point.
Of course it can. Can't you see that, you stupid whore?
Moving on. Grey Worm, solid performance. Gonna give him a 6 out of 10 as well. He probably should have went in with the other one.
Rattled,
but I thought he did look a bit rattled. But at the same time, I thought he organised the defence well.
Yeah,
you could see, you know, he didn't give any, left no gaps at the back for them to get back into.
That's a sacrifice for those.
Yeah, they had to climb the wall to get in. He protected the
solid defensive midfield performance by him. Yeah. I think like that. If the Unsullied weren't there, I think everyone's gone.
Yeah, and he was also, I think, probably top of the list in terms of the. Or short as odds for who was not going to survive the episode before going into it, along with him and Brienne. A couple of other ones here to run through. Sansa, Tyrion, Bran as well. Sansa and Tyrion, I suppose, you know, 6 out of 10?
No, 3 out of 10 for Tyrion.
Do you think?
That's my one to pick, yeah, absolutely. I really watched it. It was just like a pathetic performance. Real hero complex at the start that he thought he could have, like, I want to go out there and fix it. You know, like, really acting like a baby. And then, like, what did he do then? Just drink wine and crack jokes.
Not even good jokes.
Hid behind the, whatever it was with Sansa. Fell in love with his ex, never a good move. You know, like, just really kind of like nothing performance from a big player. You expect more from him on a stage like this. And really, like, I mean, he was dropped, so it's not entirely his fault. Like, I mean, he was left out of the team.
Yeah.
But for his, for what we saw of him, I would say three. I don't think he, like, surely Tyrion, as someone with the battle experience he's had, could have went up and killed a few of those Crypt lads.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe, right, you saw me on that. Sansa, though, I think Sansa showed good leadership in knowing her capabilities and her team's capabilities.
Absolutely, I agree.
You know, it took, it actually, it's one of those, as she said herself, the bravest thing to do was to look it in the, look at the truth in the face and say that there's nothing we can do here.
Yeah.
She could have ran out and it would have been stupid. It would have been like going out in a high press and sending one person up or two people going up. You need to do it in an organized fashion if you're doing it at all. And she decided against it, which I think was wise. She was going to sit back and soak up the pressure.
Although, again, I think you just have to take at least 2 points off anybody who decided going into the crypt was a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think she did sort of, was a bit cowardly that she was the only person with some dragon glass down there. And she decided to hide when all the other women and children were being slaughtered by the
yeah.
I think there was more dragon glass, wasn't there?
There wasn't much down there.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a whole pile.
And how, like, these dead people, they're so selective with who they kill. Like, there was, is it Varys? And he had some people kind of in a corner, and the lads are behind the tomb. Like, it just seemed very selective in that crypt.
I think those in the crypt didn't have the match preparation. They didn't have the training. You could see that. They weren't... The tactics that they employed were like just sort of, I'm going to mosey around here in the middle. They didn't play to the wings
like
at all.
It was like a Legends game, you know, when you see like the Ireland versus Liverpool
they
Legends.
They weren't moving freely. And who else have we got here? Like, there's someone I want to talk about. I've been holding them off. I think this might be the right time to come in because we're about to get down to some of the last two main people, really. But just before that, I thought, and I have him down here, I had him, Samwell Tarly. 0 out of 10.
What?
0 out of 10.
He did not crying.
He was a liability, right? How many times did he have to be saved? He knew that going in. Why did he go in? As Sansa said, sometimes the bravest thing is look truth in the face and know that you're just not good enough. And from the very first whistle, he was clearly not up for it.
When he was lying on his back stabbing your man in the stomach when John looked at him? That was very funny. Surely he gets a point for that.
He gets no points. Listen, the scene opened with him.
Stabbing your man in the stomach as he was lying on the ground crying.
The show opened with him being handed a spear and him terrified. Not go. And sure enough, like, he got Dolores Ed killed. And Dolores Ed said it. When he said he was going to, last week, when he said he was going to take part in the fighting, Dolores said, well, that's us fucked. And he was dead right.
Yeah.
How many times does the man need to be saved? Know your limits. He promises so much and delivers so little. He had early jitters, he's a coward, and he's a liability.
Yeah. I think, like, I would put Gilly out there. I think Gilly would be much more effective in open battle than put Sam down with his kid, read nursery rhymes to him, and just keep Sam away from the battle. Like, I don't think things were so... I know it was a bleak battle against the armies of death, but things weren't so bad that you needed Sam out there.
Like, he's a good manager. He's a great... No, he's intelligent. He's a good tactician.
Yeah.
But as we know, sometimes those great managers were never necessarily the best players. And he shouldn't be out on the pitch. He knows he should be on the pitch, and he's living off past glories. He killed a White Walker once.
From behind.
And that was seasons ago.
Yeah.
And now he just thinks he should deserve an automatic starting spot. You have to just select on fire.
I also don't think he'd be a good manager. Reputation. I think he'd be more a good kind of stats guy in a money ball system. Yeah. You know, he's the one who's getting, he's a scout almost, like, but getting blood.
Have we agreed 0 out of 10?
I think zero is really harsh.
Very harsh. For a man who stood up to the army.
If you survive the battle, you have to get some kind of a point, I think.
I've given him one, and a generous one. This is a man who I've had top of our soundness rankings as the most sound people in Westeros for the last 2 weeks. So it's taken a lot for me to say this, but I was very disappointed with his performance. So now we're moving on to our three key players. The heart of your three-man backline. You've got Theon, you've got Bran, and you've got, of course, Arya, the star of it all.
Mm.
Let's start with Theon. Mick, you had Theon, had you?
No, I didn't. I will say, though, that Theon's performance just reminded me of, like, Paul McGrath in Giant Stadium, USA 94.
Mm.
Backs to the wall, never beaten, just clearing everything. And the whites were his football, and the Night King was his Roberto Baggio.
I mean, to me, Theon did a great job. Performed far beyond his own capabilities there, but what were, like, the idea of basically him and four guys fighting off the off the white?
Oh, bad plan
like,
again.
What were they?
Yeah,
it just seemed like a really strange idea from the start, and I don't know how it took so long for the the dead people to actually broach that forest.
Well, but it was into the center of the... It's in the very, very center of Winterfell as well. So they weren't in the castle all that long, like in the battle. So
had a lot of arrows. You think they would have had dragon glass arrows? Did anybody think of that?
Oh, they did.
Did they?
Yeah, they were all killing. Yeah, were they were all dragon glass arrows. Well, I'm pretty sure.
Not bad.
So what was your ranking out of 10 from Donny?
I would give him like a 6. I thought he was...
Six? Wow.
I thought what had you given him?
9.
I'd given him 9 as well.
Ah, no.
It was the ultimate redemption story.
What? Like, I don't think he's in charge. He said, right, like...
What did he do, though? He just stood there and shot arrows, like...
He defended Bran until the last second.
It was a redemptive
performance. Charged Night King.
Yeah.
And for the biggest coward in the show, like to show what he's done, like when he jumped off the boat when Yara was there, when like the amount when he didn't go with Yara at the time when she tried to rescue him, everything he's ever done has been cowardice, including even like taking Winterfell in the first place and his horrible actions. Everything has been cowardice. And then at the end, he stood up and did what was right.
Yawn. Don't care. Hate Theon. Glad he's dead.
God, that's interesting because I have to say, like, everyone's always hated Theon, and I haven't been mad about that story. And Bran is, I don't hate the Bran story as much as everyone else, but my God, he is emotionless and boring, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't expect the only time that I would well up in the biggest ever episode of Game of Thrones would be the Bran basically giving Theon his redemption. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? That was incredibly
emotional. The only thing
emotional.
I would say in... Like,
really? No.
No, it was heroic. None of those characters do it for me at all.
That's amazing. Or
it was like a heroic death, but at the same time, it was a bit stupid. Like, his tactics charging head on at the Night King.
Yeah, could he not have just held them off a little
bit? It was really a kamikaze tackle.
Just stand and, back like and maybe delay him a bit
He was
more.
Never going to get the ball.
No.
He went in two-footed. It was a lunge, and I think he got what he deserved.
It was a red card in
there. Yeah, like, so maybe it's. I might lower him down, but like
a player as experienced as the Night King, you know, he's just going to step around that tackle and
But maybe I still think he warrants an 8.
It just didn't do it for me. To me, his death was so predictable, and like you could see it all set up when he decided to guard him. It just goes back to the larger tactical flaws of the team, and like I know he was doing well with what he had to work with, but. I was personally was happy that he was gone at the end.
He did delay him, you know.
Yeah,
he absolutely did. Like in the end, whatever about.
I thought he held him off.
Anything else? Yeah, I think if you're going with a 6, and we're both saying a 9, I think 8's fair.
Yeah, 8 out of 10 we go, and now we're down to Bran. Bran is a difficult one. I had Bran, and I had him down as 0 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's only 0.
I thought though, like I presume when he
lured the
Rogan. Yeah, exactly. When he was Rogan as the Ravens, he was. Bringing, like, what people are going, what was he doing for all that time? He went missing. But, like, I presume that was him showing the Night King, you know, come luring him there. Now, I don't know if he needed to do that for so long. Like, I mean, he could just go, yo, I'm over here.
That's interesting because a lot of theories out there that, like, Bran was off doing something else. Like,
well, he could have been.
The previous long night or something trying to figure out his tactic. But what good did it do? I think he was just the Raven the whole time watching the battle.
Yeah.
I think so he was just seeing what was happening.
So that I had him down as a 0 out of 10. Until I was like, kind of, I don't know, maybe led astray by this thing that maybe he was working hard behind the scenes. He was doing a lot of unseen work. And maybe he was, but until that, maybe we'll revisit it later on in a couple of weeks until maybe some of that manifests.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As of now, I think he still might be a 0 out of 10. Because he literally did nothing, only sit there. And he was emotionless even when it happened.
Yeah. He had a human moment, though, which was good to see. Somewhat human, anyway.
Yeah, the thing... Like having somebody who can do this warging would be like a real tactical advantage to.
Why doesn't he warg into the dragon? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
the dead dragon.
Yeah.
That's what I thought he might do, you know, and that would save the day.
You would think if this guy is so important to the show and he has so much power that like he would be bringing something to the show other than basically like he basically was like checking his Instagram account for like half an hour.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that Night King got him or that they were going to be. That they would the reveal that they were actually like I foresaw like a sort of the time when Scott Hall and the other guy from the NWO joined
Kevin Nash
and Hulk Hogan was there and then they did this big NWO reveal. That's kind of what I saw. That's what I foresaw.
I actually use the words heel turn when I was watching it. Like I kind of said I was like
for a moment when the Night King stood looking at him I was like
I thought they were
very much
smile.
Expected, that for Bran to stand up and like high five him or something or shit. Like,
the wheelchair's all been a ruse.
Yeah, and it's literally when Hulk Hogan joined the NWO.
Yeah.
But I was fully expecting it.
Yeah, but he didn't though. And I think Bran needs credit for not, deserting the living. in this time when him definitely is somebody kind of in between. He held on to, you know, the realms of men or whatever it is, the history of men that he is. And also, he did lure the trap. It was his idea to do that. And I think, given that the battle was the entire manifestation of that plan, as we said, not always great implementation, it was ultimately what won it. I think it, and we're giving people fives and sixes all over the place here. You gave Gendry a six. He didn't even do anything. You know, surely Bran deserves at least a five.
Not a five.
Maybe he should have done a little bit more.
I think, again, like I said before, not necessarily, you know, good managers don't necessarily make great players. I thought he was a good manager, good tactician, but not a great player.
And you have to rate these people by assessing all of their capabilities and powers. Gendry, what could he really do?
Yeah,
like,
he made a lot of dragonglass. Yeah.
He was handsome and he just did his thing, and I think that's all you could expect.
Give Arya a good kind of send off into battle where she ultimately, another assist for Arya actually. Yeah.
Exactly. So but I think Gendry played, like you said, he maximized his capabilities.
But Bran, who all we hear about is just how much ability this guy has, and you know, this young Stark guy coming through the team. You just really would have.
He played within himself.
Very much.
His siblings definitely,
outshone him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. Like, we've got Sam at 0 out of 10 at the minute.
Yeah.
Bran probably, he did have contributed a little bit more in terms of his tactics, and also he did lure the Night King.
The same thing as Sam, when ultimately he was the one there at the end when the Night King exploded.
We give him 2 out of 10, maybe.
2 out of. This is outrageous. Go on. All right.
Look. Donnie's raging because I didn't give him 0, and you're raging because I only gave him 2. What am I supposed to do? I can't keep you all happy.
What would you have him at?
Oh, I had to give him a 5.
That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. You can't give him 5.
John a 5. Like.
Yeah, and John did far more than
him. But John made a load of mistakes. Bran didn't make any mistakes.
John killed 10 whites in a row, as you said yourself. Yeah.
But there's a million of them.
Brief moment of the game.
Yeah.
Like, Bran did nothing.
No, but he didn't make the mistakes that John made. So he just kind of, he held it steady. He stuck with the plan the entire way through.
You can get I know you can get a good career just hiding and not making mistakes. You have to put something on the line at some stage.
Look,
make a move.
He was Neil Lennon.
He wasn't.
Stood in the centre of midfield, didn't do anything, but kind of didn't really do anything wrong either.
Martin O'Neill, Ireland team. Trying not to make mistakes, but offering nothing.
Yeah, but you'd give him 5 out of 10, you'd say it was a bad rate.
No.
Well, if his sister doesn't bail him out there.
2 is very low.
If his sister doesn't come from nowhere and play the game of her life, I think we're looking at Bran like, you've just cost the whole world here.
He probably saw what was going to happen as well, so he was hero making an Arya, you know?
He did give her the dagger, I suppose, a couple of seasons ago, but you can't. We're only a bit judging this on last night's performance.
Can I just rattle off a few quick ones?
Yeah.
The dire wolf, the dog, I think you've mentioned Jon Snow's management of him. I think he kind of does his own thing, and like, he's disappeared for a long time. Jon Snow's up managing when he's off camera. I think you got to give him a 3.
I don't think he had enough of a part to play at all. Ghost is one of the best. When Robb Stark was, I don't know if this is as much in the show as it is in the books, but when Robb Stark is out fighting all the wars and winning all those, like, never lost a battle, etc., Grey Wind was the king of all those battles. He was going around tearing lads apart. Absolute warrior. Ghost is the exact same, and we've seen it in Hard Home and in a few other places that Ghost is that good. Where was he in the biggest battle of his life?
Did Ghost
never
come back
up
from the early? I don't think he recovered from the
Do
early.
Do we even
instance.
Know it's Ghost?
I hope we see if Ghost dies, for God's sake. But like, the last direwolf.
He just ran off.
Racing off like a Dothraki, like he was going to, like, part of a cavalry. I think, you know, he was much better suited towards the sort of the internal battles of Winterfell. Yeah. What was he
Why was he not guarding Bran?
Exactly. I was about to say, he's much better up close and, you know, short passing game rather than this sort of long range up and
I'd
down,
agree with John that. Three best.
Rangy winger.
Also, I just want to give the internet a 3.
Okay.
I'd give the internet -10.
-10.
Particularly Google push notifications.
Okay. Before we get to those and people on Twitter and Instagram yesterday, just like all of the fan theories that have been interesting to kind of consider over the last week are all dead. Like,
it's great, isn't it?
Bran isn't the Night King. Night King isn't going to King's Landing. Basically, all of these theories that people have spent so much time sort of like cooking up and thinking about and daydreaming about, all not true. And the internet, you know, it's nice to think about Game of Thrones. It's great that we have this little escape. But like, really, the internet took a big defeat yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a big down defeat both for Game of Thrones fans and also for a lot of supposedly reputable websites and industry such as Google, who continuously sent me push notifications about how last night or Sunday night's episode had set up this big battle between Daenerys.
It's so unfair. Like, when you are, like, they are geotagged and they know that the episode hasn't been broadcast in the UK.
They also, luckily enough, my girlfriend doesn't, like, she watches Game of Thrones just because I do. She didn't watch the first six or seven series. She got a push notification from Google yesterday saying, and it simply read, RIP Jorah Mormont. Like, what? That's ridiculous. And then, is this useful or not useful? It's like, it's not fucking useful. And you swipe it away and then it comes back 5 minutes later. Jeez. And like, it was annoying when it was like the result between Real Madrid and Granada coming up for 4 days on my phone that Madrid had lost 3-2 or whatever the hell it was. But it was absolutely infuriating yesterday when I kept getting Game of Thrones push notifications.
We forgot about Sir Jorah.
Okay.
Never gave him a rating.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Surely a 9 out of 10 for him as well.
I thought he
there to save Khaleesi. Did you have him?
No, I didn't have him.
He was poor early on, I thought. He went out with Dothraki and then came back.
Shook his head.
Yeah, shook his head. And went back into the dressing room.
No, no, class.
Yeah. He was meant to be leading this flank. And they didn't even flank anyone. They just went, head on.
Jesus, I'd say his kill count was pretty high, though.
Yeah. All the way through. He recovered. He recovered. I gave him... I had him 4 out of 10, and then I marked him up to a 9 out of 10. He went out on his feet.
I think he has extra marks for being like aware of dragon language. Like, he heard that dragon call at some stage. He's like, oh, I've got to go find Khaleesi somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And also being able to speak tongue. It was a big thing at the start where he was able to direct the Dothraki to raise their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
Yeah.
I think
it's all important. Like, I mean, ultimately saved one of the big players, like, just was there and fucking died on his feet. Like, I mean, that man was stabbed a good 40 or 50 times.
And also, when you think of what he's had to come back, like, he's come back from major injury. And like
first man to ever come back from grayscale and make it to an All-Ireland final.
This was like when
this Champions League final. What Whelan, sport are we comparing?
I think it's the World Cup final.
This is like when David Whelan broke his leg in the FA Cup final against Blackburn Rovers for Wigan, but if he recovered in time to actually play. Yeah.
Bert Troutman.
And win the FA Cup the following season. Because I think that finished Whelan's career. But I've got off on a tangent here. Are we happy with 9 out of 10 for Sir Jorah?
Yeah, absolutely. Even
not a character I've liked over the years. And,
no, but I thought he did well on the night.
You'd be harsh not to give him the benefit of the doubt this episode.
So finally.
Died on his feet.
Lastly, literally, but definitely not least.
Yeah.
Arya Stark.
10.
10?
Yeah, I think you'd obviously have to give her the highest rating possible. She saved humanity. So
can I say at one point that this is Arya's debut as well? Like, it's her first battle.
Yeah,
you know, she's been a one-on-one combat type person. She's never been in this battle format before.
Mm-hmm.
What a performance!
Yeah,
first she saves the Hound's life with an arrow from nowhere. Then abandons the arrows. Don't need them anymore. Gonna use her Shikul spear.
Yeah,
double sided. You know, in 1 2-minute period with Davos looking on laughing and nobody else helping her. She killed 18 whites.
Outrageous.
I counted them. 18. Now, there was one that was maybe a glancing blow that I didn't count that might have killed. I don't know. It could be 19, right? I didn't count that as a kill. 18.
Because her expected whites was like around 10.
Her plus and minus in the betting things was about 10, I would say. Yeah. And then we were hoping, you know. Then, look, it got a little bit overwhelming. There was a lot of kind of pressure on her down in the middle of the game. She did. But she survived the really weird library scene, you know, with a little bit of nous. And also a very quiet kill. How you shove that spear through that dead person's throat and then place them down the ground. That is smart behavior. Needed a little bit of help.
She glided along the ground there, really. Like, she was like, do you know, you see these players that are just, they seem to just be traveling over the ground. You know, they're so good to watch.
Yeah.
She was like a Yari Lippmann in there. And I think even though she was on the back foot and on defensive for those few scenes, I think, one, she just needed a little bit of guidance, like Melisandre did. And also, she was just finding her bearing. She just needed to get it, you know, catch her wind. She'd get her second wind. It was exactly what she did.
Reminded me of Peter Canavan in the 2005 All-Ireland final.
Yeah, came off,
took a little breather, knew, okay, I need to rest here. I know how important I am to the team. I know the sort of, just the edge that I bring to my team and the lift I'll give them when I come back later on. And so I'm just going to
score the winning goal.
Exactly.
You know, and then ultimately Melisandre gave her that idea. There was a little bit of calm. Lucky that there was no whites around for that whole conversation, I will say, because everything just calmed down for a good 5 minutes there.
I think that's down to the door.
Down to the door.
And how they kind of put a table in front of the door.
Yeah, that's true. It was funny. While Beric was dying and Arya was worried about it, the Hound, which I think deserves him, we gave him the 7 in the end. Like, I mean, he was all business. Table in front of the door there, lads, you know. But look, they got that minute. She got the idea. And she'd shown then, like, she was the only one that had the stealth to kind of sneak up on them, to maybe lure them the wrong way. They weren't expecting her. She's underestimated. Sure. And then that sleight of hand. What a move at the end. Like, I mean, that's you know, Dame Lillard winning the last second three-pointer.
It's Dennis Bergkamp turning, who was the Newcastle defender. Was it Dabazas? Or I can't remember who it was back then. Probably was before his time.
Yeah.
But when he flicks the ball one way, turns the other.
Yeah.
It was outrageous. I also think that she's a perfect example of hard work paying off. You can see, that wasn't, you know, that was her staying back after training in her earlier years. That was her putting in the groundwork. Everything built up to it. She went and she learned from the best in every way.
Yeah.
In terms of, with, you know, she learned how to become a good fencer, a good swordsman. Then she learned how to fight a bit dirty with the Hound. She learned, from the Faceless Men, she learned stealth and that thing, like we said, that little bit of guile, as Giles would call it. She showed
great guile. And also managed to stay under the radar the whole time. Like, I mean, she killed an entire castle full of people. And, still underestimated. Like, there's nobody talking about Arya. Like, I mean, those days are gone now. She's going to be a hounded player from now on.
Sure.
But, to stay under the radar this moment until the biggest moment of her career is phenomenal work.
And unlike a lot of her peers, she had no fear in going abroad to the sort of the continental leagues.
Exactly.
To sort of ply her trade, learn from, I guess, different cultures of killing. Like, she comes from this culture where, you know, these northern people, they all do it their way and it works for them. Yeah. But, like, she just went out there. She went on loan for a few years. She was out there in Braavos and all these kind of things. And you could really see all of that, the continental game really sort of stood her at the most.
And then when she came to a crossroads in her career, she could have taken the selfish option, gone down to Westeros, maybe killed Cersei or whatever which would have been just really, you know, playing around in the lower leagues or a team lower in the league and being the standout player there, or taking that risk to be the small fish in the big pond and go up to a big team like John's team in Winterfell.
Yeah.
And she's shone. She's really blossomed, I think.
Yeah. And ultimately, she was also someone that was very, very cool under pressure because, you know, like when we watched like really seasoned campaigners like Grey Worm, like just wiping the sweat off. He wasn't happy. He has something to live for now and all.
Yeah.
Arya's gone out. She's getting the ride the night before she goes to battle.
This is like one of the most memorable nights in her career when you think about it, because there aren't many players who lose their virginity and kill the Night King.
Same night. No, there's not many at all. Like, it's one of the very few, but like just cool as a breeze throughout. What a pro.
And it puts to bed any of these, you see some sports managers saying, you know, sex before match days is forbidden and that kind of thing. Yeah. I think it's a great advertisement for getting it on ahead of a game day.
Just calm some down pressure a little bit, you know. Yeah.
Did you see, like, when the stage was being set a few years ago, did you just foresee Arya becoming this important to the show or becoming the central character, really?
No, I knew she was going to. I saw potential that she could become a big player. But I would have had her down as, I don't know, your Dele Alli or your Christian Eriksen, not your Harry Kane, the main.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It obviously hasn't been set up that way, but I think a lot of people, she's been really, really good in the show, and I don't want to make it a show book thing, but a lot of people who've like read the books for a long, long time and all do have Arya as a kind of a, everyone just sees her as this special character, and I think, but it was never really going to be set up that she was going to be the kind of the one true hero or the prince that was promised or whatever it is that everyone was like, is it Danny, is it John? You know, and I still don't know if it is. Maybe this was her moment and maybe the two of them kind of take the lead again now going forward into the next round of the final. But there was always that feeling that Arya is being underestimated and she is kind of, she is the one who's actually becoming this world-class warrior.
Because her career seemed like it maybe had plateaued, yeah. Even though she's quite young, she seemed like she had maybe plateaued in the Bravosi League for a few years there. But she,
you're going back to that metaphor where if it kills you.
I love it, and I'm going to keep it going.
Yeah, I think if you look at this as a game that's over two legs, she has been the standout performer of the first leg. I think she may have given it all in that, in this opening leg. I don't know if she's going to have it in her for the second leg to play such a major role. I think she's like,
if the fact that they'll be playing different opponents is, it's more of a semi-final,
I suppose.
Actually, yeah. I've been calling it a final the whole time because it was probably the bigger game.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that was just the luck to draw. And the two teams, it's like the Warriors are playing the Rockets now. And like, you know, it's not even the Western Finals, but
yeah,
for all intents and purposes, the NBA Finals.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that's what this was only a semi-final. They've still got to go on. They've still got to do the job down in King's Landing. They've got to go away from home.
Yeah, I think they can do the job.
They're down a lot of players.
The sports metaphor I walked away from the episode with was Bayern Munich up 1-0 in the 99 Champions League final with a minute to go.
Yeah.
Like, how do you don't lose that game.
No.
No.
And Arya is basically Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
And
in 10 years' time, she's just going to be a really annoying manager who's not very good.
She won't park in John's spot. But anyway, we are going to have to wrap this up. We enjoyed this so much, we might even come back next week for another player ratings if there is another battle. Until then, make sure to subscribe to Balls.ie podcast. We will be out with a GA podcast later this week. We also have our rugby podcast up right now. This week's episode features, who does it feature, Mick?
It features Three Red Kings, that people know as the Munster blog on Twitter. So Tom Savage, the operator and owner of that, we're speaking to him. It's a brilliant interview. I wasn't going to do the plug here, but it is honestly one of the best interviews we've done on the show, and people should absolutely listen to it.
So listen to that now, and also check out the Rewind on Balls.ie. It's our brand new pop culture section. And until we chat again, mind yourself.